let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and with me in the studio is Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John.
Thank you, Danny.
Good to have you here today. And boy, we're going to talk about some very cool, I just did not realize how cool this was, scientific craziness that happened in this biblical time with Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, I know the story, you know, how God destroyed these cities, but the science is proving now, you know, it seems to be that this, they found Sodom now. It's really amazing.
Well, you know, when I was, you know, young and reading about this stuff at the beginning of my career, the major archaeologists of the mid 20th century, they, for some reason, were set upon identifying Sodom on the southern edge of the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea.
Okay.
And they thought that it was covered up by the water. And if they had a location, it was just a little itsy bitsy thing. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And for most people, it's just in legend. That's where it was.
Right. Well, that's what it was for me. It's just a Bible story.
Yeah.
You know, this happened because of the sins of the people that were in that, you know, living in the in that area, in those cities.
Right, right. And so on the stage comes Professor Stephen Collins.
Okay.
And he did the novel thing of, it was probably a sin according to scientific archaeology.
Yeah.
To look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. Okay.
And then track it from there.
Yeah, and go for there. He says, well, listen, this couldn't be in the southern side because it says in Scripture that Abraham could see it from where he was near Bethel, looking down into the Kikar. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the Kikar actually means it's a round loaf of bread because it's a round area in the alluvial plain of the Jordan as it comes into the Dead Sea.
Right. So what's Kikar has two meanings. One is round.
Well, yeah, it means round, it associated with a round loaf of bread. And because of that, because the Kikar looks like that,
gotcha.
They call it the Kikar. Okay. Right. And so Steve Collins, you know, he's an archaeologist and he's not one of the major schools. He's not part of the
inside
elite,
group,
you know, guild, so to speak. Because he's a believer, right?
Yeah.
And using the Bible in a legitimate way, you know, he looked into the Kikar and he found that on the extreme east end of it is this massive tall, or sometimes they're called tells, right? And usually in the tells in the Middle East grow over time, okay, because they're made out of mud bricks, right? And then they're destroyed by war or whatever, and then later they build back on top of it, so it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger, bigger. This is built on an outcropping, okay, and its walls are massive, what he found.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to some of the statistics of this Tal Hamam, okay? It's 100 acres. It's huge. We're talking about 100 square acres. And it's 8 miles from the Dead Sea, okay? And it's been inhabited for 25 centuries without it being destroyed.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Yeah, that means that homes were built and inhabited, handed down for hundreds of years to, you know, families or whatever.
Yeah.
So, Danny, I mean, look, I mean, you live in an old house, right?
Right, yeah. 1850.
1850?
Yeah, that's when they think it was built.
I mean, that's amazing for us, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you could probably still see some of the original structure,
yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah, logs, yeah, underneath.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, think about living in a house. Okay, that's what, 100 and how many years? 150 years?
Yeah, 150, yeah, 170.
Think
yeah.
of living in a house that's been inhabited for 1,000 years or a yeah. little more.
It is pretty crazy. Now, I did get to go to England and some other places for work.
Right.
And I actually did stay in a hotel kind of space. It was sort of row house kind of space
yeah.
that we rented for me to stay there. And it was built in 1155 or something like that.
Right, yeah, right. And the Cotswold in England, you know, where you have these old medieval homes. But that's unusual. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
But here for 2,500 years.
Mm-hmm, that is.
Okay.
It's a long time.
That's a long time. Okay. And so it's called, actually, Tal al-Hammam means the hill of hot baths. So it must have had some sort of water source at the time. We don't know. But there's a huge rampart at 34 degrees all the way around it. Okay, so before you even get to the walls that are 30 or 40 feet tall, you had to climb, I think it's called glacis or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
It's impregnable. No, it's never been taken, Danny, all those years.
Yeah.
That's unique, okay? So when it says that Lot lived in the gates, the gates were huge, and the square wasn't some little sort of thing, okay?
Right.
I mean, there are multiple squares, and they were large.
Yeah.
Okay. We know, of course, from Scripture that Sodom's famous for sexual immorality because of the scene, and we all know what the scene is.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand that the destruction of Sodom is as big in the Abrahamic covenant as the destruction of the flood in the Noahic covenant, okay, in the psyche of the people.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Sodom, it's that city's name more than any other city name, except for Jerusalem and the rest of scriptures.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Man.
And the prophets get down on not only, you know, they don't focus on sexual sin only. I mean, they're talking about injustice, talking about violence.
Right.
When a city goes that long, okay, so to speak, it just builds and builds.
Deteriorates.
And builds and deteriorates morally, right?
Yeah.
And so it's the whole spectrum of sin that it was destroyed, okay?
Yeah.
And here it is, Danny. It was destroyed in around Abraham's time in a split second.
Yeah. It's not possible in Abraham's time, you know. I mean, they might have had a fire or whatever, but.
And it's never been really inhabited since. I mean, they built some forts on there because it's high and strategic overlooking the Kikar, but this city was destroyed in an instant. And Stephen Collins said that it really sort of must have been something like an asteroid or something, because the asteroid had fallen in Russia and did similar damage. But here it's so specific. It's just to this one spot on city.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. That's what's amazing about it.
And it must have been this hyper heated asteroid burning that pulverized the whole place, brought to ashes, and created what it's called Trinitite now, because at Trinity in this desert, when they were creating the bomb, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
The sand got so superheated that it turned into this hard, glassy crystal type thing.
Right, right.
And it takes an immense amount of heat to do that.
Yeah, and that's what you find
when you
go there, yeah. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
The sand got so superheated that it turned into this hard, glassy crystal type thing.
Right, right.
And it takes an immense amount of heat to do that.
Yeah, and that's what you find go there, yeah.
Yeah, and to this day, you can smell the ash.
Yeah. Well, and that everything is covered with it. You know, I was watching a video of a guy who was describing it, and he pulled out this thing that's a sulfur ball. Uh-huh. And he said, this did not come from here. You know, this is not from this area.
Right.
You can't find this anyplace.
Right.
And then he was looking at the way that the glassy surfaces, and then just grabbed a hold of what was limestone and how these two things combined in high heat and make that stuff. And then the ash that's everywhere, you can just pull your hand out and squeeze it. And it's just soft like ash, you know, it's really amazing. There's nothing left.
And there's no skeletal evidence. Okay. Yeah. Except for little pieces. Okay. So there's no intact skeletons in the whole place. That's frightening, Danny.
It's really
frightening.
Yeah.
And it left such a huge, deep imprint on the minds of the people in the area, especially the Hebrews, because every time you walk by it or, you know, cross into the Kikar, everybody's reminded of this site.
Yeah. And what happened
and the story. And we can understand Abraham was... A little bit of geography here. Okay. Abraham was at what's called the Judean Plateau.
Yeah.
Okay. And Abraham and his nephew Lot couldn't get along with each other because they were starting to grow, you know. And so Abraham said, listen, Lot, you go where you want to go. I'll go the other direction. You know, we just want to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lot looked into the fertile plain. If you look down to it now, it's all brown. But back then and for millennia, it's tropical down there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the drop from the Judean Plateau, as you go from Jerusalem to Jericho, which in the Bible we hear a lot about, is the steepest drop in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's part of the African rift. Rift Valley. Okay. And the Dead Sea is the lowest place, and that's why it's called Dead Sea, because water can't flow out of it, just flows in. It's so hot that it evaporates and the salt is left, right? Okay, so it's tropical.
It's more and more dense.
And it's beautiful, okay? And Lot says, okay, where would I rather live? Okay, in this tropical paradise, or up here scrounging around,
in the sand.
Way up in this cold Judean plateau, you know?
Yeah.
No-brainer, right?
Yeah. He chose wisely.
Well, maybe not so, because it said next that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then finally, we find him in the gates of Sodom, okay, which means that he was fairly wealthy. That means that he was prestigious enough to be able to sit in the gate with all the other wealthy merchants and dignitaries, whatever, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So he was invested in this place, okay?
Yeah, and he had some money.
So when the angels came to rescue him, they had to drag him out. And he didn't want to go out. This is New York.
Exactly.
This is Fifth Avenue, okay? And so you can understand why Lot's wife would look back, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to live out in the bushes and tents.
I like my life.
I like my life here. Right. But the angel said, don't look back. So Sodom becomes a symbol of the world, its evil, its enticements, and what have you. Danny, what do you think about all this?
So the story is pretty amazing that these angels come to take Lot away. He doesn't want to go. The angels cause this bright light to occur to try and get these guys who are after the angels to commit rape on them. So they do something and they get him out. And then as they're leaving the area, Sodom is destroyed.
They get out of time. And so when Abraham was standing up on top of the Gerizim plateau.
Yeah.
It says in the scriptures that he saw smoke billowing up.
Yeah.
Right?
Gosh.
And a lot of people say, well, this is all mythological. Yeah. Okay, no. That's what would have happened if this asteroid hit at the spot on at the right moment, at the right time, and, you know, and incinerated the place.
Yeah, gosh.
So, yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And that the story, so that's an amazing thing all on its own. And the fact that they have done this scientific research now that sort of shows that this area of the world that's pretty much abandoned and it's just ash.
Yeah.
Is that place. You know, it's probably that place, Sodom.
What else could it be?
Right, yeah.
You know, and it just shows you how the guild, okay, like I talked with one of the really, really knowledgeable archaeologists at a big university in the area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, what do you think about Tal al-Hammam? And, you know, his first reaction was, I could tell that there was, the light wouldn't click on.
Yeah, yeah.
And which would be very embarrassing for a man like that because it's his
he knows everything.
To know every single major site. Okay, Danny, he didn't know.
Uh-huh.
But then he then sort of recovered himself and sort of gave some lame this or that, right?
Yeah.
But Danny, this would have been the major Iron Age site.
Yeah.
The major Iron Age site in the whole area between Egypt and Babylon.
Yeah, crazy. And it seems like it's too big to not know anything about
it. Yeah, yeah. But then again, it's a political hot potato in the universities at this time. But
sure.
Truth will win out. I mean, you know, we have to do something with this major site, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So Professor Collins did a very, really brave thing, you know, and his work is good. I mean, he works his archaeology according to the professional standards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not part of that guild, mm-hmm. right? So,
well, because he's beginning with the scriptures and is working his way through the stories and what possibly happened from there.
Yeah, that's unforgivable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That can't possibly be scientific,
right? What's he doing?
Yeah. Right, right. And then you ask one quick question. We're kind of going a long time here, but but there's so much here about Lot, okay? Because he's lost his wife, you know, he's got two daughters.
And they're in the middle of nowhere. That's my understanding.
Right, and the daughters are being very practical about this whole thing, you know, but incest is an unforgivable sin in the scriptures, right?
Yeah,
unforgivable.
Yeah.
You know, they get him drunk, you know, they get pregnant. And then we see that they start a nation, so to speak, Moab and Edom, which are always perennial enemies to Israel. And so it's sort of, what should we say? It cast a bad light on Israel's enemies, right?
Yeah,
That they came from such a shameful
beginning,
yeah. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an end to the story. That's what I was saying. I had the question, what the heck is going on there with Lot's daughters?
Well, there are a lot of sordid stories in the scriptures. I mean, it's all here, right?
Right.
I mean, everything is
humanity.
Here.
It's all about humanity.
It's really real true to life. It's not some ethereal thing. You know, everything is really down to earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, Danny, sin is something serious. And God takes real seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Noah, there's evidence, you know, throughout all the nations that there's some common thing there that a flood happened, okay? Just in the human memory. And here we see that God intervenes in the flood took care of everybody, right?
Right,
but this one's very,
very specific.
But very, very startling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's scientific proof.
Surgical. You know,
surgical,
I mean, it's...
Yeah, right.
Okay, good. Well, gosh, that's quite a story and quite an amazing thing. Definitely go on to ancienthopes.org and take a look at the post because there's a lot of great information in there,
too. Look at
Stephen
Collins' book here, Discovering the City of Sodom. It's an old book, right? And I'm sure that so many years of new archaeological evidence has come up I also bought his large, very technical volume of the, you know, it goes through all the pottery, all the all the stuff that
things that were found, artifacts.
That archaeologists do, the dry stuff, okay, mm-hmm. you know, but explains every layer over, you know, many, many years. He also wrote that, created that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Good. Okay, good. Well, we'll see you next time.
Okay, God bless.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.